time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Listeners, very excited to have Bruce Pulver here. He is a four-time author, podcaster, and a global activational speaker. His TED Talk, The Secret to Changing Negative Self-Talk by Renewing Your Mindset, that's a mouthful, that has exceeded 700,000 views. That's really amazing. And his daily mindset messages on social media posts have gotten him over 1.5 million impressions. Bruce works with corporations through his unique word shop, not workshop, word shop, seminars and trainings. In his podcast, Can I Have a Word With You?, he unpacks a single word and discusses the word's impact merely through how we choose to use it. Bruce, welcome to the podcast. Good to have you here, friend.
David, thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to be with you, and I look forward to our conversation.
I am too. I've enjoyed your book. You sent it to me, and it really caught my attention. But the conversation that you and I had in prepping for this is what really got me started. You asked me, what is a single word that best describes you, David Lickin? And I hadn't thought about a word like that, but it quickly came to me, and the word was trust. You had me write it down vertically down the page, and then we assigned words to each one of those letters that expanded that. It was a powerful work, I guess, workshop, a brief seminar that you held with me just in doing that, but it was just really enlightening. And I think, Bruce, at a time like this where so many people are struggling in such a big way in this industry because of interest rates, because of volumes are down, it is so important that they select their words carefully. So I'm really excited to have you share the importance of this with our listening audience. Bruce, tell us a little bit about yourself real quickly. Let our listeners get to know you and your background, if you would.
Absolutely. I am a Christ follower first and foremost. I am a husband to one for 29 years, my wife, Bridget, two daughters in their mid-20s. And it's just been an amazing journey in life from day one. God showed up on the day I was born. My mother had what was very rare and nearly always fatal experience when she went in labor with me, which is called a dissecting aortic aneurysm during labor.
Yeah. That sounds good. Don't know what it is, but it sounds good.
It's not good. You don't want one of those. Anyone that's out there that's got some medical experience will know that. But I mentioned that because we were delivered a miracle. Like I say, God showed up on the day I was born, and I broke my mother's heart on the same day. And there were surgeons that were visiting from Tulane University up at Yale New Haven Medical Center. Mm-hmm. They were called over. They had just perfected some procedures in the heart, and they went to work on her. And 60 days later, three experimental surgeries, she held me for the first time and was the first mm-hmm. survivor longer than 72 hours.
Wow.
So I mention that because that is a big part of what I've become and how I was raised and all the kind of perspective of life. And my dad loved words. My mom was grateful. And when I went through what I call a BAM moment in life, and maybe in this industry, we're facing some BAM moments right now where yesterday they were like this, and then today they're completely different.
It's different, yeah.
I called on, God helped me call on my dad's love of words and my mom's gratitude. And words to me have become a catalyst, not a trigger, not a launch point, not a flip, not a switch to flip, but a catalyst for how we tackle situations that we face in life. I'll stop after this by saying, if you look at the word words and you just move the S to the beginning, words are a sword. So how we choose to use them, I found in my life, has impacted everything as it relates to challenges, opportunities, setbacks, setups, and just how we go forward. And God has blessed me with this gift to be able to look at words in a very unique way.
Yeah, it is for sure. I appreciate getting some insights. Where did this passion and purpose for sharing and teaching what you've learned about the power of words come from? I guess you just covered that, to be honest with you.
There's actually a story that I think took it from Bruce has this little thing that he can see words differently, and it meant something bigger than me. I'll share that if you don't mind.
I have a please do.
Who's a pediatric heart surgeon. And so that means he operates on babies' hearts the size of walnuts. And these babies can be anywhere from newborn to teenagers. But most of the time, maybe it's in a premature basis or a baby's born with a heart defect and immediately they're called in to do work. And so I started writing these words vertically, like we talked about trust, like right. We did with yours, just as a way that God gave me to lift myself up. And I started sharing these out. They were daily morning routines where I would just wake up and a word was given to me. And I'd write them down. I'd share them with the kids and the family. Okay, Dad, what's the word today? Started sharing these in a text group. And one of the people in this text group was my pediatric surgeon friend. And he called me one night. He said, Bruce, I needed that word today. I said, tell me more. He said, we were scrubbing 7 a.m. to work on a baby that was 5 or 6 days old. And there were 10 possible scenarios that we would see when we went in and opened up this baby's chest. And within that, there were 10 possible solutions that we would have to face. So complicated, right? Complex. He said, my phone went off. It was in my scrub. My assistant pulled it out. And I said, who's it from? And my friend said, it's from Bruce. And he said, will you please read it? And the word I'd written that morning was calm. And I wrote it vertically. And it just became catch a little moment. And my friend Jeff said to me, we stepped back from the scrub table, from the scrub sink. We looked at each other, caught our breath. We took a moment and we went in and performed the surgery. Now, I can't say that it corrected the outcome or it had a great result, but he told me that word meant something to him. So that impact on me, David, of saying, wow, it's unique to look at words this way, but if they have an impact like that, wow, I need to continue with this gift and see where it takes us and how we can impact others.
Yeah, it's very good. Why are what we say and how we say it so critical when it comes to leadership?
Leaders, right? Everyone that's listening on here is in some form or fashion a leader, whether it's a senior level leader or in the troops leader or even an entry level kind of aspect where you're taking charge of things. That sets an impression within our own mind. So we can look at the word, for example, bound. And if we come out and say, man, we are just bound, this is nothing we can do. Or you say that to ourselves, I'm just bound. I feel constricted. I feel mummified. How we approach a challenge is going to be impacted by that mindset. Or I can say, I'm bound and determined, or we're bound and determined, or we're going to figure this out. We may not know how, but we've stepped into that in a way that gives us maybe a broader look. It gives us just a fresh perspective. And I'll give you another example. The opportunity to have lunch with, you guys may remember John Smoltz, the pitcher who pitched in the 90s for the Braves. He had a sports psychologist that started working with him named Dr. Jack Llewellyn. The opportunity to have a very long lunch with Dr. Jack, who's now in his late 70s. And he told me that John, when he started working with him, was saying to himself, don't throw balls.
Interesting.
And Jack to say, throw strikes.
Oh.
Those are the same things.
Yeah.
Don't throw a ball is probably a strike.
Yeah, but it's one speaks to the desired outcome.
Absolutely. That little switch took John from a 3-11 first half season in 1991 to an 11-3 or 11-2 season in the second half of that same year.
Wow.
Doesn't mean you're going to make it easier. It doesn't mean the solution's going to come, David. But what I've learned in my experience is that focusing on something and saying, I can versus can I, just positions me differently to step in.
This is so true. Yeah, the power of words, when we frame them up and then we speak them out of our own mouth, there's just something that happens when we start reframing and using correct words. It almost has a direct connection to our heart or how we communicate out. It just brings about wonderful results. When you speak with leadership teams today across the country, and I think you do it through many industries, do you not?
Absolutely. It's a universal application, whether it's a small startup company or a large organization, a sports team. We've done some workshops and keynotes at MBA courses in universities, high school kids. It definitely is universally applicable. And I think that the earlier we can start thinking about how we use our words in life, I'm not saying the easier, but the more we tend to, okay, here comes another challenge. How am I going to choose? But you're never too late. It's never too late.
So when it comes to that, what are you finding to be the most impactful aspects of what you share with them, when these leaders that you're talking to?
A couple things. One is we often just fall into the habit of the words we use and how we use them. And so I think I said earlier, it's a catalyst to step back and say, wow. So let's say you take a group of leaders across a company. You're going to have sales, you're going to have operations, you're going to have development teams, you're going to have the administrative teams. And we're always in our silos. We know our acronyms, right? We know our lingo. Yep. We know the flow. To just step back for a second and maybe even take a word. Three companies are coming together and they're three different cultures. I know what mine is. I know what gets me up in the morning. I know what I'm charged about company A. Then there's the team from company B and company C, and it's a mix, and maybe it's assumptive. We step back and maybe we just speak about the word culture. And I ask you, David, if you were to write the word culture down and I asked you to start with the letter C, what would be important in a culture for you starting with the letter C?
So that's what you would start. That's how you start working with them is, again, that's going vertical. And then what does that reveal when you start hearing words that they offer up?
I never thought about it that way. Would be from a company B person, right? So maybe it's credibility is the C, right?
Okay.
And for another, it might be consistency.
Yeah. That does give you some insights into the person and how they're thinking or what's going on, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're battling in all industries now is retention. It's finding our emerging leaders and growing them. It's folks being seen. We've got a lot of different age groups from right out of school to senior leadership. And things have moved so quickly in how we communicate that the biggest challenge is to be assumptive in what it means to me and what it means to you. Perspective. Words have perspective beyond our understanding.
Very interesting. You reference some leaders as quote unquote quiet leaders. Explain what you mean by that.
The Sherpa would be my example to that. A quiet leader might be a person who doesn't necessarily want to be in front of the room, doesn't want to be spotlighted as successful, but just keeps their head down, gets the work done, and leads by their action, maybe not so much their words. And that quiet leader can be so impactful. Just weaving their way through an organization, and you go, why is every time Johnny's working in this committee or in this culture or this project, man, he just seems to, whatever the goodness is that comes out of that, right? And so that's what I would describe as a quiet leader, a person that likes to get things done, but maybe just short on words, doesn't use them a lot.
Is that a bad thing?
No, I think it's amazing if it's recognized in the appropriate way, right? Because that person may, it's all, I think, and I don't mean this to sound all sort of neo-modern stuff, but a lot of it's about how a person is seen and are they valued and are they working in their purpose? And sometimes that's not out loud.
The reason I asked the question the way I did is because there's people like myself who probably uses more words than we really need to, but I use an abundance of words. But then there are those that just find the way to say so much through so few words. That's what I was trying to get you to talk to is those that carefully select their words and choose fewer words might have a better advantage over someone like me who's trying to search for the right word and using an abundance of words to do that. Or are you finding they're both effective?
They both can be effective. And I don't mean to just answer it like it's either or. There's some folks, they just want to know how the watch is built. Yes, sir. We're going this way. This is the answer. Here's right. They just want to know how to tell time. They don't want to know how the watch is built.
Right.
But then there's the other where it really takes that nurturing or that, you know, this way. There's different times, I think, when both of those are effective. And I know that we're both have a music background. I hope it's okay to share that. And one of my favorite quotes is from the jazz trumpet player from the 50s, whose name was Miles Davis.
Oh, love Miles Davis. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And if you think about when Miles came to play, it was in the 50s. And in the 40s, there was a lot of the soloing that trumpet players would play were a lot of notes, like a lot of fast patterns up and down. And this whole bebop thing was really happening. And Miles was more of a minimalist when he started playing. And here's the quote. He said, "The fewer notes you use, the more each one is worth." And he also said that silence is also part of the music. So while I'm the word guy, I'm known as that guy that comes out and helps break these things down. I think sometimes actions can speak louder. And I love the word about, let me just explain this. I love the word action because it defines itself. The fourth letter of action is I. The first three letters are act, and the last two letters are on. So I have to act on something if I want some action to happen, something to take place. It doesn't always have to be a lot of words.
When you're working with someone who is struggling, it's so easy to watch wrong words or negative words come out of them. What is something that you offer that our listeners could take away from our interview that helps them speak right words to get better results?
Process. It's incremental. So here's an example. I call it untie the knots, N-O-T-S, or kick the cans. Not kick the can, kick the can. So what does that mean?
Good.
What I challenge folks to do in a workshop is we're going to spend the next 10 minutes in a conversation. And during that conversation, we will avoid using words that end in an apostrophe T or anything that has N-O-T in it. Not. Instead of saying, well, we can't do that, let's focus on this is what we can do. And it's difficult because we tend to look at the avoidance and use those words of not or an apostrophe T's. But even in a 5 minute to 10 minute workshop, you can start planting that seed of choosing my words differently by eliminating certain ones.
Very interesting. Let's walk through an example of the way you help leaders release and activate the power of a single word or a phrase. Let's walk through how you do that.
Yeah, because I think activation is key. Doing a workshop or a keynote oftentimes can be encouraging, it can be uplifting, it can be inspiring, but let's break it down and say, what can I take out of this meeting? What can I apply immediately? And so we did that once already with the word bound, but right. I'll take a few other words with it, and then we can think about it this way. We may be in a work situation where we are just in a pickle. I don't know, maybe the industry we're in, right? Maybe some of the competition in the space we're in or a feature function of our technology that we have or don't have. And we could say, we're just bound. We can say, everything we try to do, we just buckle. It just seems to fall over. We can say, I just feel held up. Maybe there's some restraint that we feel that's in play. We can feel that we're left alone and we can feel that we're stuck. All of those with a connotation of a down. But if we turn that, already did the first one, and say, no, we're bound and determined. We're going to buckle down.
Interesting.
And thank goodness this team is here to hold us up, right? And if you weren't here, I'd feel left alone. And I'm grateful that we stuck with it. I used the same five words, and we just activated them a little differently. Now, I want to stop short of saying, and that fixes everything. It doesn't solve the problem, but it gives us some, I think, creative juices come out. I've seen it. I've seen brainstorming out left field where something comes into play that we've thought of. We've never done it that way, or we've always done it this way, can be a binding way. But if we think about those, just those five words, just differently, we can maybe set the sails to a different direction.
Yeah. One of the phrases I like or sayings I like is life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we are watching. I also heard one speaker say, he says, Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And I've heard, and this guy is a sales trainer. He says that I've seen way more sales killed by the same instrument. It's such a funny phrase, but the truth of the matter is how we speak. Words we choose are so important for framing up a desired result, like that pitcher who was taught to think about throw strikes, not pitches. And all of a sudden, the desired result starts changing literally how his arm moves, and somehow the results started dramatically change in that case. Give me some other examples of that, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I can give you a real-life personal example for me.
Oh, good. Yeah, good.
At 13 years old, I love baseball, music and baseball. And at 12, you're on the little league field, right?
Right.
It's that smaller field, and you've played on that same size field since you're 7. And David, I thought I was all that. I was a starting pitcher. I played third base. I batted third or fourth. Man, I felt like I was all that, right? Then we move up to the next age group, and the bases get longer, the fields are deeper, and pitcher's mound to home plate is longer distance. I had a baseball coach who is now in the Scouting Hall of Fame for the Major League Baseball. I was fortunate to have him as a coach. He was in his 20s. I was 14, 13 or 14. He came up to me after the first couple of practices and he said, "Hey, Bruce, you know what? I need you at second because these runners are pretty fast and we're going to have to try to get that force out at second to keep these runs down." He goes, "And you know, I've seen you make contact with the ball and the bat, and I need you on base. I might need you to bunt. I might need you to just try to get something over the shortstop's head. And that way you can steal second. And these guys that are going to come up third and fourth, they're going to get you around. We're going to score some runs." And then he said, "And we've gone from 6 innings now. I think we're going to play either 7 or 8 innings now." He goes, "Later in the game, I'm going to need you to come in because the pitchers I've got throwing, the starting pitchers, they're bringing some pretty strong heat. And at the end of the game, I'm going to need the pitches that are going to seem off speed, a little different, mix it up a little bit." I had the best season of my life that season. Wow. He didn't say, "You can't play third base. You'll never get the ball over there. It bounces 4 times. He didn't say, "I need you at second because that's where the former third basemans go." He didn't say, "Yeah, I need you at batting first because you can't hit it in the gap." And he didn't say, "You're no longer going to be a starting pitcher." That's how he chose to use his words. And I had the opportunity about 6 months ago to meet back up with Tim. He's now retired. And I had the opportunity to thank him for that conversation.
How fortunate for him to still be alive that you could connect with him. Absolutely. When you look at how people manage people, Bruce, like Marcia Davies. Marcia Davies had a great statement. She said, "People are like elevators. They either bring you up or they bring you down. And that's done by words." When you look at someone who is a leader, talk about words they should consider using when they're working with someone that may be struggling in their job. And rather than berating them or making comments that are focusing on the negative, what are things that they can say to lift them up without covering up the fact that we need to have some improvement here?
I think "please" and "thank you" never hurt to start. Number one, yeah. Staying respectful at that sort of level. Yeah. Here's what we need to do. What can I do? What barriers can I move out of your way? That would be one. What tools do you need that you either don't have access to or you don't see? I think looking to pull this person into their potential is so much more effective than any other approach. At least that's what I've been led. That's where it's helped me. You've got this. The thing that I love about what you do, David, is let's do more of that. And then let's get you some resources that help you on something else. So it's, and granted, I'm not trying to say we don't have to have those hard talks, because sometimes right. I think to be kind is to be clear. Yeah. Absolutely. But I also think folks want to do well. And sometimes yes. creating an environment to be able to ask for what those things are I need to be successful are key. Yes. So maybe it's not words, David. Maybe it's setting up a scenario that says, "I've got a Thursday afternoon open door policy. And what I want to do is, bad news early is always better." So making that environment out there to say, what do we need to move? What do we need to shift? What audible do we need to play? Granted, if there's not a fit, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yes. Bruce, there's a saying out there by Sir Francis Assisi who says, "Preach at all times, speak only when necessary." I think for those of us who are leaders, is lead always, speak only when necessary. What do you think he was trying to communicate there? Because words are important, but sometimes it's more of how we do it.
Yeah. I'll go to another phrase that I've heard recently, and I'm starting to really lean into a little bit more. More things are caught than taught.
Ah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah.
So I think seeing folks in action, actions speak louder than words, and I'm the word guy. Right. So
yeah.
I do think that seeing that behavior, folks will emulate that. Think about it as being a parent.
Yeah.
They follow what they do.
Yep.
So I think that's probably what he meant there. So speak only when you've got something that's simple, straightforward, and directive or inquisitive.
One of the things you talk about in your TED Talk, which I really enjoyed, was renewing your mindset. Talk a little bit about the importance of having a renewed mindset and how is that done?
Again, no light switches that go off and all of a sudden it happens, right? I think they're catalysts. So let's use a couple of words that might come into play here. David, one day I'm going to fill in the blank. One day I'm going to run a 5K. One day right. I'm going to close $20 million of mortgages this month, whatever it is. One yeah. day I'm going to eat better. if we just move that around and say today is day one where I will start working on that 5K. Today is day one that I will do whatever it takes to build that pipeline to get me to that number that I'm trying to get to. We just moved it around. A mindset to me can really be just as simple as starting that way. I had a friend recently who called me. He's been a pickle career-wise, and he says, everything I try, I freeze. F-R-E-E-Z-E. I don't know. I just got a divine download, and I said, why don't we do something that frees us? F-R-E-E-S. So let's go out for a walk. Let's freshen our mind. Let's do some sort of quiet time. Let's get into prayer. So the mindset or changing of a mindset can really be how we think of things in the situation we're in. To me, a key part of mindset is gratitude.
That's really good. Yeah, I think an attitude of gratitude gets results so much when people pick up on that. It's just so fascinating when people get a hold of your book, and folks, I recommended it. I got this, Bruce sent this me a copy of it, and I says, above the chatter, our words matter. And really what he is getting into is it opens up, when you open up the book, there's all these words that are listed out in a way that reframe how you think about things, and strongly recommend you get this and then start the exercises that he leads you through to reframe your world by reframing your words. I really like that phrase. So how can people get a hold of the book, and how can people get a hold of you, Bruce?
Absolutely. So the book website is abovethechatterourwordsmatter.com. But you've ordered it there, I sign every copy. So if you want one for yourself, you want some for your team, I reach back out to you and I say, give me the names of your team, and we just sign them and get them out. So I really like to personalize it. That's not an option. Amazon, anywhere books are available online, they can be purchased. And to reach out with me on LinkedIn is probably, from a business perspective, the best way. Bruce Pulver on LinkedIn. I post Monday through Friday. I'm back into writing again. I've written for 1,000+ consecutive weekday mornings. I call them mindset messages. And we just try to give an ounce of activation.
That's good. And if people want to reach out to you, email, cell phone, whatever.
Email is BD, like Bruce David, Pulver at yahoo.com. That's P-U-L-V-E-R. Or man, I love Direct Connect. Text me, call me, 404-273-8334.
And he does respond. Bruce, what a joy to get together with you. Thank you so much for this book. I enjoy this time together and look forward to sharing it with our audience.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you making the investment to pour into your audience. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks. Hey, listeners, this hot topic would not be possible without our sponsors. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Total Expert, Finastra, Byte Software, Lender Homepage, Angel AI, Truv, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, iEmergent, Modix, Mobility MMI, and Knowledge Group. There's so many good sponsors here, and we're so grateful for each one of them. Be sure to check out each of those sponsors and their spots on our website, LincolnOnLending.com. Under the sponsorship page. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.